Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church here in Hoyleton. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and we are gathered here today to remember the life of Mike Mentor, who was a beloved husband and father and grandfather and a friend to so many of us here in the Hoyleton community and certainly here at Trinity Lutheran Church. Today we gather as people who have hope. Even in the midst of death, we know that Jesus has given us life. Especially during this season of Lent, we remember that Jesus died to take our sins away and to destroy death so that we could live forever. We do give thanks that Mike is in heaven and that we will see him again someday. Everything that you're going to need for the service today is found in the yellow bulletin. Hopefully you've all received one. With the exception of the words to the hymns, those are going to be found in the burgundy-colored hymnal that's in the pew in front of you. And we're going to begin our service with our opening hymn, which is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's number 803, and I'll invite the congregation to please be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Michael was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Our service will now continue as we recite the 23rd Psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Mike and to all your servants, who having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I say, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 14. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the verse.
If we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. If we are faithful to the end, we shall reign with him. Our Holy Gospel reading today comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 11, beginning with verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us now join together in speaking the words of our faith, the same faith that Mike shared with us. We'll do so in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation may be seated. Our next hymn will be number 563, Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, and we will sing stanzas 1 through 3, and then also stanza 5.
Thank you.
mentor, those of you who are gathered here today to remember and celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end. And especially to you, Shirley, Mike's beloved wife, Melissa and Christopher, Will and Ella, the rest of the mentor family, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mike Mentor had a calling in his life, a vocation, if you will, to be a man who was constantly on the move. I don't know how else you would describe someone who was on the road as much as he was, right? Driving his truck all across this great big country of ours, day after day, mile after mile, for many, many years. For Mike, it wasn't just a job. It wasn't just a means to an end. It wasn't just a way to make money and pay bills. But for him, this really was a passion. It was something that he excelled in. And it's not just about driving, but it was about going about it the right way. The old school way, if you will, which means treating people with respect and being willing to creatively solve problems when they might pop up, and just simply doing anything that was needed to be done without complaint along the way. It's a calling. It's a calling from the Lord himself, and I believe Mike treated it that way most of the time. Serving God by also serving his neighbors, wherever he would encounter them, wherever the road took him, north, south, east, west, and everywhere in between. Mike was a blessing to so many people in so many places, of course, but one of the downsides of living a life like that is it means if you're out on the road a lot, you can't be at home as often as you'd like to be. And he really did love to be home. He loved to be home in Hoyleton. And he loved all of the many good friends that he had here in the village and out on the golf course, and he loved to be with his family, too. But over the course of this long 52-year career, there's plenty of stretches where he was physically far away. Kind of just comes with the territory. And speaking for myself, I would say as I reflect on how I got to know Mike, it probably took a little while before I really got to know him as his pastor, you know, but there was a time where I was visiting Alma regularly at her house, and I would go over there, bring her communion, we'd have these great conversations, and there were several moments where Mike would come on over to check in on his mother, and we would have these excellent conversations together, and I learned something about him in those conversations, that when he was home, he was all in. He made the most out of every moment he had here, all of that time. And he was everybody's problem solver, it seemed. He would just fix all the things that needed to be fixed. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me just in the last few days and have expressed that they don't know what they're going to do now that Mike isn't the one that's going to bail them out of all of their various predicaments all the time. So I guess what it comes down to is this. No matter where the road took Mike, no matter how far away physically he might have been at times, he always had home on his mind. And even more importantly, he always knew how to get there. And this is true, by the way, whether we're talking about literally his actual knowledge of the road, or if we talk about home in a broader sense, like in a spiritual sense. Because on the one hand, Mike was, by all accounts, a genius when it came to the way that he could remember the details of his many trips across the country. You could pretty much ask him about any city, any general area, and he would know exactly what routes to take and which ones to avoid, and he would know mile markers of the best rest stops and hotels, and he would be able to get you wherever you needed to go. It was really amazing. I mean, who needs Google, right? Who needs GPS at all if you have access to the brain, the memory of someone like Mike Mentor? Yes, no matter where he was physically located, he could literally get himself home. But I also know that this was true when it comes to Mike's true home. His home with his Savior, Jesus Christ. His home in heaven, beyond just the home here in Hoyleton. Now you can see on the first page of your bulletin today that Mike was just a couple of weeks old when he was baptized into the Christian faith. So that day was the day, more than 73 years ago, that Mike was welcomed home by the Lord. He was welcomed into God's family. It's the day that his sins were washed away, when he was covered with the holiness and righteousness of Jesus Christ himself. It was that day when he was promised by God that no matter where life would take him, no matter where he would find himself along the road, that God would be there with him, that he would never leave him, that he would never forsake him, that Mike would always be at home in the Lord. And so for 73 years, Mike's faith in those baptismal promises made it so that his soul always knew the way home too. No matter how rough and bumpy the road might have been at some times in his life. So we're gathered here today and we're reflecting upon these 73 years of earthly life that the Lord graciously gave to Mike. And we also happen to be gathered here during the season of Lent. We just have about 2 weeks to go until we hit Easter, until we are going to be celebrating the victory that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ won over death, that he won over the grave. And so we, like Mike, can say that because of that victory, we know the way home too. And we are able to rejoice even in the midst of our sufferings. We're able to trust God even if we have this heavy weight of grief that is resting upon us in this moment. Because death, whether we're talking about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross or the death of any Christian, including this husband and father and grandfather that we have before us today, death does not get the final say. Jesus is still alive. And that means that Mike is still alive, and there's nothing that can take that life away from any of us. Not even when one day our bodies also breathe their last on this earth. Nothing, not even death, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. And Mike knew this, and he believed it wholeheartedly. And because of that, because of his faith in God's promises to him, it led him to live a life that was filled with service to the Lord and to the people that the Lord placed in his life, which I noticed didn't stop even when he got sick, by the way. The road that he was traveling on these last several months was just about the roughest road that anyone could possibly imagine. Fighting this aggressive throat cancer, not being able to eat, not being able to talk, seeing and feeling his body getting weaker. And yet, with all of that going on, what I saw was a man who was not just focused on himself. And it would have been completely justifiable if he had just focused on himself in those moments. But no, he was concerned about everyone else around him. He was concerned about Shirley, Melissa, and Christopher. He spent his last days in the recliner looking at pictures of Will and Ella and their sports that they would play. That was what he loved so much, watching you guys play sports. When people would come to the house, he would use his notepad and his pen in order to communicate with them. And as he was doing so, he would be cheering everybody else up with his jokes, with his stories that he liked to tell. It took him a lot longer to tell those stories, writing them all down, and sometimes we couldn't read his handwriting, but still, he wanted to do that. He wanted to cheer everyone else up. That's the kind of guy he was. Always living for others. Even until the very end. Our second reading that we heard just a little bit ago captures this pretty well, and I know most of that reading, if you paid attention to it, it's kind of strange. It doesn't sound like something you would normally hear at a funeral service, but the reason why we had that passage today is because Mike's confirmation verse came from that very chapter, Romans chapter 14. And first of all, St. Paul reminds us in verse 7 of that chapter that none of us lives to himself. None of us dies to himself. If we live to the Lord. If we die to the Lord. Everything begins and ends with the Lord. But the rest of this passage then deals with the ways that we take that relationship with the Lord and then we interact with other people based on it. And so we talk about how we shouldn't pass judgment on one another or put a stumbling block in front of one another. And all of that culminates in the verse that was assigned to Mike on April 3rd, 1966, on his confirmation day. Let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. That's the road. That's the road that Mike was on for 73 years. So, where does the road lead for us? Where does the road lead from here? What are we supposed to do now that Mike has gone to his heavenly home and the rest of us are still here in this veil of tears? Well, the good news is that even though we don't have our walking, talking atlas to guide us anymore, we still have the directions that we need in order for us to get home too. Because Mike has gone where his Savior has gone. And where Christ has gone, that's where you and I will be someday. In fact, Jesus has promised that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And if he's gone to prepare a place for us, he will come again. And he will take us to himself, that where he is, we will be also. As difficult as this road is, Jesus Christ is the one who first traveled it all the way to the cross, so that all of our pain, all of our grief, all of our sin, and even death itself is nailed to that cross. And all that remains for us is this wide open road home by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Our true home filled with eternal life and the glories of God's heavenly kingdom, where one day we will be reunited with Mike and with all of the saints who have gone before us. Home, where our Savior will greet us with open arms and say to each one of us, welcome, welcome home. In his most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we will hear our song, Go Rest High on That Mountain.
Thank you.
invite you to please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give to the family of Mike and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead and the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Receive our thanks for Mike and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, there will be some words of remembrance which have been prepared by Mike's daughter, Melissa. And she has asked that I would read those on her behalf. So I'll do my best to do her words justice. Dad, nothing can prepare you for this. Even when you know it is coming, accelerated by things beyond control, way sooner than you would ever want, it doesn't make it any easier to accept. Your parents are these invincible beings that you just expect to be around forever. You just pray that you get to spend most of your adult life with them, soaking in their wisdom and enjoying their company. Unfortunately, cancer cut our time short. Dad fought valiantly these last 5 months. There's one thing for certain. If you know my dad, he is never without his Carmex, pen for his crossword addiction, and his spectacles, as he liked to call them, in his shirt pocket. You would typically see him with a drink in hand. His libation of choice ranged from some very questionable whiskey choices, Canadian Mist, Ten High, or Glenn McGregor, to a good old bottle of Stag. He would always say, "How do they make it so good and sell it so cheap?" He had the most piercing blue eyes and a laugh that once you heard it, you could never forget it. Dad was blessed by his father with a beautiful singing voice. When I was younger, I used to enjoy hearing him sing in church. I've never met a more photogenic person than my dad. He couldn't take a bad picture even if he tried. I can hear him now saying, "So I got that going for me." He could tell a story or a joke like no other and had a quick wit. Through everything he endured, he never lost his sense of humor. He was a staple around Hoyleton. He always had a fridge full of cold Stag ready for whoever dropped by the shop while he was there. He was a jack of all trades. There wasn't much the man couldn't figure out or fix. He was one of a kind, always happy to lend a hand and share his opinions. You would be hard-pressed to find someone who didn't like him or have something nice to say about him. He was one of the hardest working people I have ever met, working up until he physically couldn't anymore. It was hard for Dad to sit still. He was always busy working on something. When he was not working, he kept himself busy playing golf, tinkering around the shop, or spending time with his family, who he loved dearly. He adored his two grandchildren. Will and Ella brought him so much joy. He often played games with them. A favorite was Kings in the Corner. He would do just about anything for them, except play Yahtzee, or Not-Zee, as Dad liked to call it, Not-Zee. He spent many weekends at various sporting events, taking them on trips in the summer, teaching them various life lessons and skills. He was always so patient with them. I imagine he was emulating his grandfather that he loved so much. Although he went to school to be a mechanic, he spent his life hauling oversized equipment all over North America. Dad had made it to every state except Alaska. That was our family trip planned for this summer. He was a human atlas. He could tell you directions to anywhere in the U.S. down to the exit number or mile marker. He had a finesse for wrapping gifts. He liked to use items readily available from around the house, a trait he undoubtedly inherited from his mom. If you did not get a present from him wrapped in comics, aluminum foil, or a black trash bag, then you were missing out. Dad always had the radio on. Whether it was listening to talk radio, sports, music, or the news. Some of his favorite music was classic rock and blues. He spent most evenings watching or listening to his favorite St. Louis sports teams or Will and Ella's games, sometimes simultaneously watching one on the iPad and the other on his phone. He loved to play baseball and bowl when he was younger, but golf was his recreation of choice later in life. He was an avid golfer and enjoyed playing in all seasons. In the winter, you would often see him walking the course with his clubs in tow. He had a great group of guys he enjoyed playing golf with over the years and was a regular at the Caddy Shack. I can just picture him up in heaven now, hanging out with his buddies, with Greg, Rich, Curdy, and Uncle Jim, laughing and having the best time. Those last months robbed him of so much, a once active man now struggling to do the stuff he loved. Dad handled everything with such bravery and grace. My mom took such wonderful care of him the last 5 months. It was just another testament to their undying love for one another. No matter what life threw at them, they faced it head on together. He made sure he let Chris and me know how much he loved us and how proud he was of us. God broke the mold when he made him. And I thank God every day for choosing Mike to be my dad. It has been my honor and a privilege to call him dad these last 38 years. Thank you so much, Melissa. Just one quick announcement before we sing our closing hymn. There will be a funeral luncheon that will take place not here at Trinity, but actually across the village over in the community building attached to the park. And you're all invited to come and join us over there. We will now conclude with our closing hymn, which is number 878, Abide With Me.